If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, it gives us a space in our mind to think outside the boundaries of what we normally talk about. Mm. It's the beauty of nature. And this stillness in general.
It's funny because when we're not in nature, we talk about the weather, but when we're in nature, we don't talk about the weather, you know?
I don't pay attention to that, but that's a good point.
Thank you so much for doing this. I'm really interested in your personal journey and particularly how you've transitioned from the tech world, the kind of corporate world, to now coaching and and helping people also in that world. That's a really interesting transition you've made there. Mm-hmm. And I get to kick it off, what are some of the challenges you faced prior to that transition?
That transition, if we want to look at the history of it, it did not start, but there was an idea in my mind after my first child was born. When my first child was born, before the child was born, I was very like, I don't know what's going to happen to my professional life. I was a very ambitious and career-oriented woman all my life. And I started working when I was 14. I started teaching statistics at the age of 14.
Wow.
Yeah, so I always worked and I loved it. I loved making money. I loved leading. I loved the whole thing. And so when I was pregnant, actually, that was a challenge for me. What's going to happen to my life? Because I am an immigrant, which I'm a citizen now, but I don't have family in this country, like immediate family. So I was like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen to me and my life. And when the child was born, I couldn't think about that anymore at all. Like something switched in my brain and I was like, oh my God, this creature is so cool. And I was like, I don't want to go back to the office now. So the challenge reversed all of a sudden. And unlike Germany, Daniel, United States, especially at that time, didn't have any maternity leave in corporate world. I went to the HR and they told me, oh, you were going on disability. And I was like, no, I'm going on maternity. I'm not becoming disabled. To cut the story short, basically, it started at that time that the child was born. And I was thinking, working these heavy, long hours and being with this little creature don't seem to be fitting in the same bucket. I had the idea, I loved my work. So I was kind of like, I don't know what to do with this dilemma. And I carried it on and I went up the corporate ladder and I enjoyed and struggled at the same time. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was a huge struggle. I had another child and it was a very big everyday act of juggling between these two little people and myself and my husband and shebang of life and what to eat and what to wear and which party to go to and all of that thing. And it happened that I worked for a company called DirecTV. And in DirecTV, I was very lucky at that time that I looked into, how can we become more fearless in life? I was like, okay, I don't know what that is. And that started a dialogue in my head that I did not have that dialogue before, which is around, can there be another way of living, another way of life that I had not been programmed for it? Because I was programmed to go to the university, I did my bachelor's, I did two masters, I did a PhD. I was very programmed along the way. And so that opened a dialogue in my brain, but I didn't know what to do with that dialogue. And what happened was that I had an accident that brought my life to a total halt, like total halt. I wasn't able to do anything in this world like we normally do. I wasn't able to talk. I wasn't able to look at the screen even for 5 seconds. I wasn't able to walk. And I was like in a total pause from all aspects of my life. And then I realized how much my identity was connected to that corporate job. I was missing the corporate job and I was missing myself because I had lost that there is a Kathy that doesn't need to be incorporated with all of these corporations. There's a Kathy somewhere in there. And that was a very big moment for me to realize, how do I exist outside of my corporate identity? And those, I took a pause for 2 years that I meditated for hours and hours because of that injury that I had sustained as part of my healing and being able to cope with pain. And during those times, two things helped me tremendously. One of them was that I hired a coach and I experienced coaching myself, and mindfulness. And these two really shifted my perspective towards life and towards a lot of things. And at the end of those 2 years, I wrote a vision for myself. And when I was thinking about that vision, I was like, do I want to go back to my corporate job? And I was thinking, no, there are a lot of people who do not know how to live life and be a good leader. And that's what I want to focus on for the rest of my professional life. And that's how the idea of my company, Heart Mind Tuning, was born.
Yeah, well, there's a few words that jump out there, like the identity. You know, when we have such an association with what we think defines us, and then that's suddenly taken away. You know, mm-hmm. And parenting is obviously just a game changer. I know that firsthand. And then perspective, the shift of perspective to realize that you're not associated to that thing anymore, and then how can you set forward in a different direction. It's pretty cool. And the, you know, I guess it sounds like in a way that having that injury, mm-hmm. as relentless as that must have been, that gave you the space in a way. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is fair to say that, but I have to say, Daniel, something for the record for our audience, because I tried to be very curious at that time. I really had to rely on becoming more curious. The reason I say that is that at that time, with all that situation that happened, the doctor said, we'd have nothing to give you. We cannot help you. But the only thing that they told me was that you need to relax your brain. And they did not give me any clue what that means. So I was like a pilgrim in like Paulo Coelho's book, that they gave me that sentence. And I was thinking, as my husband was helping me out of the doctor's office, like, what does that mean? How do we relax the brain? Because I had a brain injury, and I was like, how do we relax that? And I was very isolated because I couldn't talk. So I couldn't call people and ask. And I couldn't look at the screen, which Dr. Google couldn't help me. So I was a very like trying to figure out what to do to help myself. And I was very thirsty for anything that came my way. I did not question things. And it was a very fascinating journey, Daniel, because, for example, I didn't know anything about coaching. I didn't know anything. And coaching is relatively even new in this States, and the pandemic has let it really get picked up by the industry. And at that time, I was having a birthday, but because of my injury, we had to have it like early in the morning because my brain wouldn't be able to handle past a certain time. And so we had it early in the morning. So people were so dedicated to come 8 a.m. to celebrate.
What a party.
It was so funny. And we had to have it by a body of water, by a lake. It's a very beautiful place. Nature helped me. I had realized that. And I couldn't sustain noise. So being in the nature helped. And one of my friends told my husband, oh, you need to get Kathy a coach. And my husband told me at night that this is what so-and-so person said. And I was like, okay, how do we find one of these people? What are those things? And I told him to go to the Google for me. And he did Google. And he said, yeah, there is an International Coaching Federation Los Angeles chapter. And I was like, okay, go see what it is. So he went to the website and he said, oh, you know this person who is the president. And I was like, really? So he showed it to me. Daniel, I have a lot in my story of these kind of moments, but that lady who was the president of ICF LA chapter at that time, our kids had gone to the same kindergarten or first grade together years ago. And so I knew her. I had her email address, and I was like, in the 5 minutes or seconds or whatever it was that I could look at the screen, I just sent her a text. I went to send her an email because I could look at the screen for a very, very short time to say that, hey, I want to connect with you. And I realized I had sent her an email like 2-3 years ago. What do you do for a living? This sounds pretty cool.
Oh, and wow.
I had no recollection that I had sent that email.
That's so interesting, the timing of things. And the connection was already made prior.
So I want to tell you that, and I want to tell the audience that I became a seeker. I surrendered to the situation, which was very hard for me. And I decided, okay, it has happened. Now I cannot sit and have a pity party for the rest of my life. I could think about why it happened and I was very stressed. My brain was really stressed at that time. I could feel it all the way. But I couldn't have this pity party. I had to see that, okay, this happened. How do we move on and become a seeker? Because the doctors that I had hopes in them, they are saying, we cannot help you. So I had to find a way myself.
Yeah, wow. And then you went through the training process of coaching through them.
No, it was a way more longer story than that. because for your audience, finding a coach is not easy. You have to find somebody that you connect with and you feel comfortable, and at the same time you feel like they are helping you grow. I mean, it's a very big balance of feeling supported while being challenged. So that friend that I told you we met, she explained to me what coaching is. She explained to me her methodology. But I did not go with her. She just helped me understand, and she helped me hear her story. Funny enough, I asked my husband to find some people for me, even with that situation, to interview them, because I figured, you know, you have to find the right person. Even like, it was funny because I couldn't look at the things myself. My husband didn't know how to do these things. Even he found me a person that we later on found that she was a dating dating coach.
Yeah, it can be pretty broad within the
We didn't know there's these many coaches. And my husband had found somebody that was near our house, and she was a dating coach. And I was like, yeah. Later, when I met her, I was like, yeah, I don't know why you are here, Kathy. And I was like, yeah, because my husband found you. So it was a journey to find the right person. And the way I find the person at that time, it was a miraculous journey itself, which is out of our scope for now. But it was a very interesting thing. So I found her and I experienced coaching myself. I experienced how I can look at my injury in a different way, because I was looking at it as misery. Honestly, I mean, being a corporate executive and all of a sudden you have this situation and then you are like unable and disabled to do anything, like disability for real. And I was like, okay, this is so terrible. What happened to my life? And you know, I could stay in that space for a long time. And one thing that coach helped me realize was that there is even blessing in that really miserable situation. And that was the biggest shift. But that directive work had made my mind prime for the fact that there could be other perspectives than my perspective in life.
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at. I was what was the blessing within the within the that time and that injury. So I too experienced like the corporate world. I was working in architecture, and I had I ended up essentially burning out as well. I was drawn to it because it's essentially a creative industry, but I found myself not doing a lot of creative. Mm-hmm. It was more corporate, and I was doing too much and also burnt out. But I've been in a number of kind of corporate environments. What do you think is the biggest problems in these type of environments? And you said you're working toward bringing a more integrative or balanced balanced approach.
Daniel, if I could redo this game, I would definitely invest in coaching from a very early on thing. The moment that I started going towards the leadership journey, for sure. The reason I say that is that our brain has capacity and resources, but it might not have been built to handle the stress and the pressure the way it is inflicted in a lot of corporate environments. So the brain can be trained to have more capacity. I could have been trained to see what is priority. I could have been trained to be more intelligent about navigating social dynamics, not taking some of the things personal. If there was a failure, not to lose my sleep for a week over it. So there was a lot of training myself to look at things in a different way, and also build the capacity in my brain, physically build the capacity the same way that we train for a marathon and we do not decide that, oh, I'm going to run a marathon this morning and start doing it the next day. It just doesn't work like that. We understand that we need to train. We have to build up to it. The same thing is true for our capacity in the corporate environment. And if I could redo this whole game, I would definitely invest in that tremendously to get a more holistic view of myself, my purpose, my values, and how I can build more capacity in my brain.
Yeah, it almost feels like it should be taught in schools, you know. It's just how we navigate, you know, the school system is so focused on like other things, but like as you say, how do we take a more holistic approach to, in terms of like our individuality and the things that we're naturally drawn to.
I like what you say, but I have to tell you something. I think maybe the biggest challenge is that we do not see value in these things until we hit our head against something. Like, I remember when I was very young, I was like 22, 23 or something. Somebody gave me Tony Robbins books back there. I was in Iran and I was like, I don't need these things. I know what I'm doing. I'm very set on my own ways. So I dismissed that. I remember there was a man who had come from United States to Iran to deliver these motivational speeches. And I went and listened to him, and a lot of his things really resonated with me. But I did not go and do a workshop or the groups or whatever he was doing. I did not really value some of these things. So, Daniel, I think the biggest challenge with these things is that awakening needs to happen. And a lot of people, me included, until they hit their head against the wall, they do not realize they need to do that.
No, you're right. It's more like the school of hard knocks, the life experience, that exactly. the crash and burn to then be able to see it in context. Yeah, no, that's very true. So I read that that pause is very important to. In your work, like pausing and reflection. And I think that's the, you know, the nature of a lot of businesses. It's so hard to find that pause and that space and that time. Is that a big focus for you?
Yes, it is a big focus for me. And there is a lot of science behind it. I researched a lot about the impact of taking that pause on our brain and our productivity. Because one thing that is very essential for leaders in corporate world, or any leader, even the founders in tech and startups, is how do I become more productive? How do I optimize this time and energy that I have? And a lot of common thinking is that, how do I do more within my day, within the hours I have? Maybe I should do more multitasking. Maybe I should do three things at the same time. That's what I personally did. I was driving, and at the same time, I was interviewing candidates for the roles that I was hiring for. And I was thinking, oh my God, I'm doing really good. I'm becoming productive. Wrong.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wrong. And I learned it the hard way, because our brain is designed in a way that it needs its moments to relax and to be able to have the right exercises to get strengthened in certain areas of the brain that are used for decision making. So if you look at the corporate ladder going up, a person goes up because their ability to make decisions increases. They can make harder decisions that impact a bit bigger number of people, and they can make good decisions, and they can make decisions that they can stand by, so they are not afraid, or at least they are able to overcome the fear so that they can make the decision. And these require a capacity in the brain, that capacity can only be made in the brain if we allow the brain to learn to pause and not overreact. Because the brain is designed to overreact when there is a threat, when there is something that needs action, because it has the primal instincts of helping us survive. But our times have evolved. We don't have a cyber tooth knocking at my door every day and saying, hey, would you let me in? So I don't have that threat anymore. So it's important that my brain is designed to understand not everything is a threat. Can I sit and see what is the reality and what needs to really happen and not just jump into action? That's why building that capacity is fundamental in the work that I do with my people, to help them build that little by little, because it's a really hard thing to build. It takes time. It is not an overnight thing. Sorry, people, if you're listening to me, that you were thinking that I have invented a pill that you can take and magically you can build that capacity. Sorry, that pill, I haven't found it, and I don't think it is yet there. Despite all the ChatGPT stuff, that pill is not there. So people need to understand it takes work to build that. And part of that work is being able to take a pause, even for 1 minute. I can't tell you, Daniel, how many people, when I ask them to sit for 1 minute, they're like, yeah, no problem. And we start, and then they're like, oh my God, that was the longest 1 minute of my life, Kathy.
Yeah, especially with all the distraction and noise we have around us. It's crazy. And that's what these little challenges have been like. It was just like, it was always, it should seem easy to take 1 or 2 minutes in the day for mindfulness. We have, I'm not sure the numbers, but we have thousands of minutes per day, yet it's often so hard to even just find that 1 minute. It's crazy. It's so crazy. But I too have found the benefit in doing less, but trying to focus on the quality of less, as opposed to thinking that doing the 100 things is going to get me ahead, when actually it's like counterproductive. I had to also learn that the hard way. And I still, it's still like a, like you say, it's a, it takes work. It's like a muscle to consciously try and keep things in balance. And then I have noticed by doing that there is enhanced productivity and clearer decisions and focus. So I can feel that it works. But again, going into these companies, this approach of pause and reflection, you know, it doesn't fit the standard corporate models.
No, and I do not go and talk about it like this. Because if I go and talk about it like this, they are thinking, oh, mumbo jumbo. Yeah.
They start to think it's a wacky, yeah.
Yeah, you don't. So there is another way of packaging this whole thing, which is a lot. Nowadays, a lot of companies are understanding the way to go is to take care of their talent. And the way to take care of the talent is to be more of a human-centered leaders, to have more human-centered leaders and have human-centered leadership. Of course, it's not true for every company. I mean, some companies have embraced it, some have not. But a lot of tech and engineering companies are becoming more curious about that space. They're trying to embrace it, play with it. Because at the end of the day, corporate America is about producing and making money. Because if you do not make money, you're out of business. As simple as that. And how do you make money? By having people who are the best in their talent and skill, and at the same time are vested. And how do you get people vested? by making sure that you provide an environment that allows for engagement and something bigger than the paycheck. Yes, US tech engineering job market is not the greatest right now, as you and I are speaking, but still people want to be engaged in their work to be able to enjoy it and put their 110%. Otherwise, it's just a job for them. And having just a job is not satisfactory for human soul. You and I have both experience with that, feels like. So when bringing it to the organizations is about how can you make your leaders more impactful? How can your leaders have more influence? And as a leader, a lot of leaders aspire to be more inspiring. How can I inspire people more rather than giving orders? So there are elements that is appealing to people without using the word pause and using these words that is very counterproductive in the corporate lexicon.
I think people need to feel valued and need to feel heard, you know. Mm-hmm. Being in companies where you don't feel heard, you don't feel it, like often the guys or men or women at the top don't have an understanding of what's going on in the kind of the factory, and I've seen some like toxic environments start to happen, you know, by people, and then like you say you just end up losing good people, and then the productivity I guess suffers. So yeah, from the top, trickling from the top down. So like you said, focusing on how do the leaders become more mm-hmm. impactful.
Mm-hmm. Well, you brought a good point. People want to be heard. And that's a really human essential. However, look, we are talking about corporate world that is very focused on problem solving. So imagine, and I think I have done it a lot in my life, and I still do, it's still a journey for me to be able to sit with somebody and as they are sharing with me, to focus on what they are saying and what I'm feeling and what they are feeling and the feelings I get from them, and let them explore it, not jumping into, oh yeah, maybe you should do this, or jumping into, oh yeah, I remember I had that experience and this is what I did, boom, 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 boom. Cataloging our experiences takes us away from the moment, and people feel that. Humans feel that. So the biggest gift that we can give another person at this day and age is the gift of our attention. The gift of our attention, can I be 100% with you? And that's the biggest gift I think that coaching gives people. I mean, I do coaching and advisory because of my experience in the corporate world. So, but whenever I'm with people, I tell them, sometimes I'm in my coach suit, sometimes I'm in my advisory suit. Because in the coach suit, we listen to you so you can find the answers yourself. I don't have the answers. You have the answers. You live in that world. You know these people. Trusting, learning to trust yourself is key. So the bottom line is that hearing somebody is an art and science, and it needs to be developed because people don't have it inherently. People inherently, especially in corporate world, they want to jump into solving problems because they have been paid all these years to solve problems. Mm. And that's one of the biggest things I had to shift in myself. I earned a living for 2 decades by solving problems. Now I switched into something that I want to allow a person to find answers in themselves. That was such a huge shift for me personally.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I hear it a bit, but I tussle with it a little bit, and that's the concept of like personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very like multifaceted creative, you know. I don't, so I it all falls under the like arc of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always struggled with this idea of personal brand. So what are your thoughts around personal brand?
I'll share with you. Our personal brand requires two things, building it: internal awareness and external awareness. Internal awareness is us doing the work of understanding our own strengths and things that are not so much our strengths, and really be very clear on that, and our own values, and see how we can use our strengths towards executing based on our values. I know this sounds really esoteric, so I'm going to go and give examples. For example, when I was at DirecTV, one of the things that happened, we did Marcus Buckingham's Strengths Finder. And in that, I discovered my top strength is being a connector and advisor. And that was like, wow, so I should do more of that. And I enjoy that. I enjoy people. I enjoy connecting. I enjoy connecting ideas, visions. That was something that I enjoyed. And I started looking into that and see if this is in line with my value. And yes, connecting and relationship is one of my values in life. So I was like, okay, how do I do more of that? And I started even doing that while I was in corporate world, because technology and business can be so, so far apart from each other. So I started bringing more dialogues and how we can see things together with the same lens by bringing different groups, their ideas, listening to them. And that was my internal awareness. Now, external awareness, it translated into having a reputation that Kathy, that is in IT, she is looking into how some of our ideas can be backed by technology. That was my brand while I was there. That was something that was said about me when I was not in the room. So you would do this internal awareness of what are your strengths, what are your values, and you have to act on that and then have enough critics or enough people that you can gauge what is being said about you when you are not around. And that is your personal brand.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. The values thing comes up quite a bit on the show, defining what your values are, seeing how they're aligned with your strengths and the things that you're doing, and trying to find a nice relationship between them, try and get them in harmony. Yeah, that's cool to kind of associate that to the personal brand.
Yeah, it's very important to understand that, Daniel. I think I run groups that we look into the value and the value system and all of that. And there's a group that I think we've spent 5-6 sessions on that. And these are all C-suite level ladies that have amazing track record in the corporate world. And one thing that I want to invite everybody to think about, and it was a very big revelation in the work that we were doing with this group, is there are values that we like. I think hardly anybody can tell me, I mean, I'm talking about decent, sane people, that kindness doesn't seem appealing to them. Humans normally like kindness. So a lot of people, when we are doing the value exercise, they're like, oh yeah, kindness is good. So they tick that. As an example, now there is a difference between a value being good and the value being a value for us that we actually execute on it. So if there's a difference in there, because a lot of times people are like, oh yeah, kindness is good, vulnerability is good. Yes, there are a lot of things that are good, but are you actually executing based on that? Or is it just a good thing to have? nice thing to see on the shelf. So there's just a very, very big difference that I really encourage people to test their values with a group. If you have access to a group, just go and test it. Really iron it. There is, when you look at the list, there is like, what, 60, 70 values, and they all look appealing to some degree. But if you want to narrow it down for six that you live your life by it, that's a challenge.
Yeah. That could lead nicely into the tradition on the show, which is to have guests offer, given your personal journey, your expertise, mm-hmm. some kind of challenge for the listeners. Would mm-hmm. that be one around values, or does something else spring to mind?
Oh, I love that. Let's use something from the values. Yeah, actually. Let's have that challenge for the audience that they examine their values and see if they can choose six that is present to their life right now, right this moment that you and I speak. Because one thing is that values are dynamic. What was value system for me when I was 20 and now 3 decades later are not exactly the same. So why don't we use that as a challenge?
Yep. And as you say, focus on that, you know, it's a nice value, but how is that executable? Like, how is that actually practically being like incorporated into mm-hmm. the way you operate and live? So, mm-hmm. no, that's a really good one. Where can people find you?
On LinkedIn. If you liked what you heard, you want to hear more of that. And I prolifically post on LinkedIn. There is my website. And if you want to get our newsletter, there's a newsletter on my LinkedIn. Just subscribe to the newsletter. If you want to get notified about the events that I have or group programs and all of that, just connect with me on LinkedIn, drop me a line. I would love to hear from you and we can stay in touch.
Oh, it's so awesome that we could do this like globally now.
Yeah, fantastic. I love your show because you have audience a lot in Australia and Europe, which is a different territory.
It is interesting because I have one foot in each in Germany and Australia because I've been here 10 years and mm-hmm. A lot of contacts back. Yeah, so it is a unique position to have a foot in both worlds.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and the show has started to rank in Germany now, which is interesting too, because there's not I don't think there's so many English podcasts, but it's crazy. It's a crazy ride how I ended up here, but you know, I had to I've had to embrace my unique mm-hmm. thing here, which once I've started doing that, once I've embraced my own uniqueness, it's been very positive. So
amazing, your own personal brand.
Thank you so much for your positivity and your insights, and it's really cool. We could go for longer, perhaps have to do it again sometime.
Definitely. Let's definitely do that. I enjoyed meeting you. I enjoyed learning about the story behind how you came with the idea of your podcast. I loved it. I loved it that the inspiration came from nature. And it was a pleasure to meet you, Daniel.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.